fear. Three times in tonight's gospel, Jesus tells the disciples that he is commissioning to send out. Three times he tells them, do not be afraid. Fear. Fear is one of the coins that we use in our life to pay our membership of the human family. All of us experience fear at some stage in our life. At the time when the disciples were being sent forward to proclaim Jesus' word and his actions to carry on his life, those disciples knew truly what fear was. They would have been persecuted from within their community, from outside their community, from within their country, and from outsiders of their country. They would have been persecuted by members of their own family and their neighbours, as well as strangers. They knew what fear was. Fear is a terrible thing, though it is part of the human condition. Fear, it weighs us down. It holds us back. It robs our heart of happiness. Fear is such a gripping restriction in a human being, even though it might be natural to some extent. Fear can be so crippling, yet fear can also be a thing that strives a person to make enormous, courageous leaps in their life. Fear, whilst it can be sometimes rational, it is mostly completely irrational. The amount of energy we waste in fear would be immeasurable. There's a saying that those who harbour habitual fear, they are the landlord to a ghost. So those that live with a fear all the time, they are the landlord to a ghost. Let me look at that in terms of the way that I view fear. Fear is nearly always about something that has happened in the past, or it is something that is going to happen in the future, or may happen in the future, might even be a vague possibility. Fear, for the main part, is never in the reality, or seldom in the reality, of the here and now. And we live in the here and now. If you live as a prisoner to your past, you're living half a life. If you live your life with the fear of what's going to unfold in the future, you are entertaining a ghost who's never going to turn up, more than likely. And that's the power of fear as well. I said it's crippling to most human beings. So when Jesus says three times, do not be afraid, he is striking at the very heart of what it is to be a disciple in one sense, but to be a prisoner in another, to be somebody who wants to be completely free but also feels restrained. Jesus was not the first person to be crucified. So when he said to the disciples, you go out but don't be afraid, the fear that would have grounded them would be the signs of crucifixes on the roads in and around and out of Jerusalem. They would have known what was potentially ahead of them if they bucked the system in any way. A deeper fear for those who were spiritual would be that they would never be allowed into the synagogue again, be banished from the community, quite often followed up by a little stoning. And I'm not talking about the stuff we smoke, I don't smoke, but it is a very much a reality for them, I believe, that fear was around them. And so Jesus is encouraging them to say, you need to be courageous. Now, he might even say, in a sense, you need to be fearless. A fearless person is not someone who does not have fear, because I've already said that it's part of our human condition. A fearless person is somebody who is aware of the fear, but moves beyond it, conquers it. So when we talk about fear in that sense, talk about courage as well. And the great word from the two Greek words, encourage, to put courage into. That's what it means. That's how we get rid of or manage our fear. Don't be a prisoner to your past. And don't live your life scared of the future. In doing that and in being such a person who lives in that sort of fear, we miss the present. We miss the here and now. And we are people of the here and now. That's what our faith tells us. And that's why Jesus goes on to say, when you go out there, you're not on your own. You can buy a couple of sparrows for a penny, and then they'll fall to the ground, drop dead. But not a sparrow falls without your God in heaven knowing it. I'm always a little bit reluctant to labour the point about counting the hairs on your head. Don't need much of a battery in God's calculator for some of us. What he's saying is that you must trust. You are not on your own in this venture, which without fear becomes an adventure. And I think that's a bigger challenge for us. I think most of us, our fear rises to the surface when we think we are actually combating this thing on our own. And you know I'm not talking about spiders and snakes. When we think that we are on our own, our fear, it seems to me, increases. When we know that we are in company or we are accompanied, our fear reduces. And we end up having conversations like, together we'll get through this. It must happen sometimes, I suspect, in families when, say, a husband and a wife lose a child in a miscarriage or have to bury a child. From my experience, that death either tears apart a family or it unites it even stronger. And a couple will say, our fear of having a child, we will conquer this because we are in this together. And for people of faith, we know that in the midst of all of this is God, who knows what suffering is. This is the day and age also where there are cameras everywhere. And modern times have fear, I think, bred into us in a different way. Some governments use it as a weapon to keep our people uncertain. Therefore, it seems to justify them making political decisions, usually to do with the military, that are based on fear. And that's profoundly weak. But it seems to be part of modern military manipulation, sadly. We must not be people of fear. The cameras, they watch us. I think truly that the key to conquering fear is remembering that God doesn't watch us. God watches over us. We're never alone.